Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our roundtable panel for this Monday morning, the 20th of January, Martin Luther King Day, a holiday for many. We are here and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at wamc.org. And we'll talk about many things this morning. Let me introduce our panel. First and foremost, WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe. Here we are on Martin Luther King Day, a wonderful American. And we're here because we're a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week radio station.
Right, we are. Wow. Thank you, Alan.
All right.
I mentioned that.
Political consultant Libby Post is here.
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
And we also welcome, look at this.
Where have you been?
Check my notes. University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo back in town.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I remember how to do this anymore. I'm so rusty.
You'll fall back right in.
Well, Alan, I have to warn you, I'll be out today to prove that all those people who thought perhaps I had disagreed with you too many times and had been punished by a month away, that's not true.
It's been a while. I mean, I love you to death. And I get these letters saying,
but we disagree a lot.
Why did you do that?
Why did you silence her?
Yeah.
Because she went away.
I went traipsing around the world.
Yes. On her own dime and her own desire.
That's true.
There you go.
Nothing within the
what a subtext already this morning.
Initials.
All right, here we go. Let's begin with these topics, beginning with, let's start with the Olympics and Sochi.
Yeah.
And some concerns. Yeah. Tensions rose Sunday over security preparations ahead of the Winter Olympics in Sochi, as several congressional leaders expressed concern about Russia's willingness to share information about terrorist threats. While President Vladimir Putin asserted that he would do whatever it takes to protect the thousands of visitors arriving soon for the Games, the separate remarks made on Sunday morning news programs came before a video was released online showing two young men who said that they were behind suicide bombings in a central Russian city last month that claimed 34 lives. In the video, the men threatened to carry out more attacks. In a statement posted with the video on its website, the militant group claimed responsibility for the bombings and said that there was that they have also vowed to disrupt the games. So the question now is, Representative Mike Rogers, Republican of Michigan and the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, said Sunday that American officials working with the Russians ahead of the games had found a departure of cooperation that is very concerning. They have to get this right, don't they?
Yes. I've been thinking about this for a long time because I was working overseas and the threat of terrorism is real. But where is it not real? Where could you hold the Olympics that would be utterly safe? These are a target. There are going to be attacks or worries about attacks wherever you hold it, in the West or in the East. And actually, Putin has many problems, but being soft on terrorism is not one of them. So.
Well, you know, if in fact you let me respectfully disagree with you.
And it's off. We're off.
I told you you'd get back in the saddle real quick.
No. I think you're right because, you know, in a non-democratic, smoldy society,
correct.
Certainly Russia, contemporary Russia is, you can do things that
you
might
not
be able
here.
To do in other places. On the other hand, you already have these the Chechen guys saying we're going to do this. And I don't know how you stop as somebody with dynamite tied to their torso. When they come in, now you can screen everybody, and we've all seen it done. I mean, I was out in Denver when everybody who walked into that inaugural stadium, you know, had to be searched before they did it. But, you know, this is, you know, I don't know that I'd want to be there, I'll be honest with you.
I think that you might say the same thing about any huge public event, including, say, a marathon in Boston.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
We are in threat. We are under threat.
I guess the difference here being that of whether you trust the host country to do what they're saying. That seems to be the underlying packed.
Right,
here.
Which is why I think this is just politics. Notice it was a Republican who talked about it. It's Russia. I want to see some hard evidence that they're not doing what they promised. It's certainly in his, as we know, Putin always does things in his self-interest. How does he benefit by letting Americans, say, American athletes be blown up in right. Sochi? He does not.
And he has certainly put so much of his personal reputation on the line just to host these games. Mm-hmm. Libby?
Well, you know, I hate it when I agree with a Republican, but, you know, I don't trust him. I also think the guy, Doko Amarov, the former Chechen leader who's now, heads a broad Muslim separatist movement, they will do anything that they want to do to kill people. And we've seen it from them in the past, and we'll see it in the future. And I'm concerned. I'm staying home. Not that I really was planning on going, but I'll watch it on TV. I feel much better. Even the Super Bowl I'll watch on TV. I feel much safer in my house. But I think it's going to be difficult to keep people safe because of how many people are there. How can you really control it? Even, look, it happened in Atlanta.
There was that bomb. Exactly.
You know, there was that bomb there. It happened in Boston. It's not necessarily the deadly Olympics, but that was a whole different.
The difference was they didn't announce in advance that they were going to do it in those places.
Right. And this now they are. And my flip concern is for the gay and lesbian athletes because he went on and said, "Oh, we're not gonna do anything to them, but leave the children alone." I mean, give me a break. It was one more example of Putin and this Russian government's perspective on lesbians and gays, and that we're just pedophiles. I mean, he lumped us in with pedophiles, and it's enough already. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see as they crack down on the people who want to blow people up, whether they're going to let people actually express their opinions on these issues, because that's what the law says. You can't express your opinions.
And then there's also this issue of whether or not they're cooperating with the United States
and
the security agencies here. And apparently not, although I think Putin may have said something yesterday that said, well, you know, we will cooperate.
We'll let you know. But you know, it's not like this was a big secret. They put it up on their website.
Once before in a dispute with Russia, the United States pulled out of the Olympics. And if you look back on that now, the effect of it was injury to American athletics. It had no effect on the politics. The whole point of the Olympics is that people who think differently, who have widely varying ideas and policies about life, for once are together in the same arena. And the pressure is actually on Putin. His ideas on homosexuality are not going to change by us not coming to the Olympics.
Well, I didn't say that we shouldn't be going. What I find interesting is I did some work once in a gay sporting event called Out Games up in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing how people from all these different backgrounds, and yes, different politics, even though we're all lesbian gays, they come together for the good of the sport and the ability to compete. And all of that stuff from the athlete's point of view just sort of disappears because all they want to do is do what they're good at, skiing or ice skating or whatever it is. Right. You know, yeah, we pulled out of in the 1980 around with Russia, but it was a different circumstances than a different time.
But we didn't pull out of Munich.
Right.
Well,
that's right.
Which is, to this day, interestingly, the most cited Olympics ever.
That's
because...
Right.
You know, Jesse Owens and others did
I'm sorry, aren't we now under the Rune Arledge school, which is that the Olympics are different? You take it out of the national arena, the usual
politics.
It is.
It's international.
It is. What you said,
totally
Libby,
international.
That you are looking at the beauty of the human form and the wonder of competition. And, yes.
The agony of defeat.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you really did buy into that.
Sing the theme.
How can you not after watching it's Sunday after Sunday after Sunday.
Raining down the hill.
Right.
So security concerns, yes, have them, plan for them, worry about them. If the people are threatening ahead of time, good, then you have more chance to plan to stop them. But I don't know what else to say about it. I don't see anything unusual about
this. And remember, it's much more than just the perimeter of the event, but people have to get there, they have to use public transportation.
That's one of the big concerns, the soft targets.
Right.
And if I I'm not asking. I'm trying not to be sensational in any way. But if you, if God forbid something happens, then that's when all the finger pointing goes. And well, we told you, and that's like where trouble. You wonder then what the political ramifications are going to be.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, so maybe this is putting Putin on notice you need to cooperate because nothing can happen. And that is in his self-interest. So.
Absolutely. Because if anything happens, it just will weaken his position on the international stage.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with other topics. We have a lot to talk about this morning, and we will do so. We will always welcome your thoughts. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And we will continue after this short break.
Support comes from Foaman Wash Car Wash, from Valesgate to Poughkeepsie, in support and appreciation of Hudson Valley Hospice, serving Dutchess and Ulster counties. Working to enhance the quality of living for those near the end of life, hvhospice.org. Spot Coffee, Saratoga Springs, New York, a community-oriented cafe featuring fresh roasted coffee, baked goods, soup, salads, pizza, and more, spotcoffee.com. And Mohawk Preserve, New Paltz, presenting the Rock the Ridge 50-Mile Challenge for runners, walkers, hikers on May 3rd. Sponsored by I Love New York and Ulster County Alive, rocktheridge50.org for registration.
Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We welcome your comments as always. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. I want to talk about this story because, again, it was, I found this interesting for a couple of reasons and another controversy surrounding New York Governor Chris Christie.
No, New Jersey.
Excuse me. What did I say, New York?
Yeah. You said New York.
Very Freudian.
And I'm reading, like, it's right there, but I'm not. Anyway, and another controversy.
Isn't it funny that you can say something and not know what you're saying?
No.
That your brain and your tongue are not. I hate when that happens.
We have this thing that, you know, we read the weather. If you're doing the morning show, you read the weather like 45 times. And then your wife calls and says, what's the weather? I have no idea. Not a clue.
Right, it goes from here, from eyes to mouth.
and doesn't really register
inside.
This just in, and another controversy surrounding New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
Yes.
Hoboken Mayor Dawn Zimmer said on Sunday that Christie directly ordered the withholding of Superstorm Sandy recovery funds unless she backed a redevelopment plan he favored. Appearing on CNN's State of the Union, Zimmer said she was told by a member of Christie's administration that Sandy relief funds hinged on her support for a real estate development project and that the directive was coming directly from Christie. Quote, she said that to me is that this is a direct message from the governor, Zimmer said, referring to Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno, who Zimmer said approached her in a parking lot in May to deliver the message. It's stunning and outrageous, but true, the Hoboken mayor told CNN's Candy Crowley, I stand by my word. Later in the day, she released a statement saying that she had met with the U.S. Attorney General's office for several hours at its request and provided the office with her journal and other documents.
It can't be true. Chris Christie told us he's not a bully.
Yeah, right. This is Chris Christie's version of pay to play.
Yeah.
The most important thing,
Jersey is back.
Yeah. But the most important thing about this particular one is that when she asked, the mayor asked the lieutenant governor whether or not this was at Christie's request, the answer was yes, and that's the first time that's been tied.
Yeah.
However, I'm not so sure they got him on this one. I'll tell you why, because, you know, he wants this development developed. And he says, well, politics is you pay to play, and this may be the kind of, I mean, I don't like it.
Didn't the governor from Illinois go to jail for something really similar to this?
Well, the question is, can they tie it to a personal issue? Walking Dan Walker went to jail.
Yeah.
A lot of people went to jail.
Yeah, but this is about playing with people's lives because of what happened with Sandy. It's not about like you know, oh, let's build another casino and we'll do it if you...
Libby, I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm just trying to think from a legalistic point of view what the defense would be.
If they got them.
Yeah.
Well, I think what I found interesting in all this is that I also watched the Giuliani interview on CNN.
Yeah.
And he was the master of deflection talking about the president. You know, he didn't talk about about Christie at all. He started talking about leadership and how the president's the one who's hiding behind everything. And I was like,
what?
Wow.
Yeah, like, what? How did you get
that?
There?
That was this from the man who brought us Bernie Carrick.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So the mayor of Hoboken is on the CNN program, and she makes these comments. Meanwhile, a week prior, she said that while she wondered whether Sandy aid funds were being withheld because she didn't endorse the governor's reelection, she concluded that, quote, I don't think that's the case. And then comes all of these journal entries, and she's changing. Yeah. So, and you wonder what brought about that.
That's one of the more disturbing aspects of this. First is that Hoboken was truly, truly hurt by Sandy. Yeah. And the fact that funds would be withheld for any sort of political thing is just appalling, akin to the lack of care shown in the original emails on Bridgegate about little kids being stuck in a school bus. You know, they're the spawn of Democrats.
Right.
It's the hell with
who
them.
Cares?
So, yeah, that's number one. Number two is that this could happen and she would not speak up. Why didn't she speak up when Bridgegate was breaking? Because
let me take a hand at that, as my mom used to say. Let me take a hand at that, and that is, it may well be that the reason she didn't is that to understand it is to understand what a bully is.
Mm-hmm.
A bully, and we've seen him all over the place, in lots of political places, is somebody who everybody's scared of. But once
she would have been hurt more.
The wrapper comes off, a lot of people descend into the fight.
I bring that up because we hear a lot about Edward Snowden. I know we're going to talk about NSA later on. But why didn't he work within the system to repair the bad things he saw? How come he gets hit with that? And this woman, this mayor does not, or the mayor of Fort Lee, actually, I think he did complain. When things go wrong, somebody has to speak out.
Well, in fairness, I mean, she seemed to be a constant critic of the fact that they weren't getting the money that they thought they should get. She just wasn't making the tie it was political retaliation.
Right.
If I'm reading this story correctly, though, and I'm not sure that I am, and this, I realize, is kind of a silly point, but... It seems that she appeared on the program and then met with federal prosecutors.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you're reading it?
Right.
So those guys work on Sunday?
Yeah, sure.
They call.
That's how you get to run for governor.
That's right.
Okay, there's
right.
one, and I also may be misreading.
Which guys
it.
Run for work on Sundays? The federal prosecutors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they go in, and then all of a sudden, like, they're watching the TV. She says that, and the next thing you know, she's in the office for a couple
Isn't
hours.
Isn't that amazing?
I also may be misreading it, but the third thing I found disturbing in this whole story was that it isn't just that Christie or the administration of Governor Christie was saying, support us here or you don't get your money. He had an actual interest in the program that he wanted support for. It wasn't like, I like this, you need to like it too. It was, I like this and I'm making money off of it, you need to support
it. Well, if that's true.
That's a different charge.
Well, no. If that's true,
correct.
And I have not read that, but if that is true, then they've got him. Then I think, you know, there's a quid pro quo.
Well, and there's the whole controversy over using the funds to do the TV commercials and spending $1 million more on a particular agency. Who knows what the connection is? We'll probably find that out sooner or later between Christie and that agency. They might have done his ads. Who knows?
Right.
But,
there appears, at least. This is a very long story we're looking at.
Yes,
that
it's very long.
From CNN.
Yes.
And it's not the best written, but there does seem to be some connection, a personal interest, not just a political interest in please support this program.
I think, you know, some people say, oh, he's not done. He is done. I think that he is done because this isn't happening in Omaha. It's happening, as we were talking about it last night at dinner, in the biggest media market in the country. And
it's
never going to go away.
I love this story. Following it overseas. Oh,
right.
My God.
Yeah, me too. But
it's never going
except
away.
Except that it isn't, apparently working with the voters of New Jersey, who are very supportive of Christie in the polling that has been done. The real question is how much damage has been done among the purples. The reds we know, the blues we know, but the purples is what it's about.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's
and it isn't ending either. I mean, there's criminal charges are going to come out of this yet, most likely. Not at Sandy, but at least at a bridge gate. It's not like
and
you can
David Sampson.
Fix it.
Yeah.
I was really
explain that.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead. Now,
well, he was one of the two people on the hospital closing commission.
Yeah.
For Pataki, and he did a good job with that, and he listened because I was peripherally involved, and he listened to all sides, and they made some good decisions, and some of them were hurtful, but I was surprised that he would get so caught up in this kind of political thing. I thought he was better than that.
Let me answer in one way.
Yes,
people do one stupid thing, and they get chicken, and they knuckle under. And for the rest of their lives, they pay for it.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We welcome your letters. We'll read from them when we come back. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC. Good morning. Welcome back to... Wow.
So sorry.
You know, they do emergency drills when you're, you know how they do emergency drills?
I told you I was rusty. Look, I'm blushing.
Okay, look. There's a light there.
It's your red sweater.
The red light.
There's a light there. And when those are on, mics are open.
The seven
right.
words.
You can talk about mules as much as you
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. And it is a delight to have Rosemary Armijo back. Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter, political consultant. Libby Post joins us this morning and Alan Chartok as well. A good morning, all. And reminder, we welcome your letters roundtable at WAMC.org. President Obama, this happened on Friday, so we didn't get to talk about it. President Barack Obama's plan to curtail the government's mass collection of American phone data shakes up U.S. spying practices amid a worldwide firestorm over revelations about the nation's surveillance programs. But Mr. Obama promising a continued review left large swaths of the surveillance programs unchanged. And many of his proposals for overhauling them still face congressional debate and approval. Rosemary, we've talked a lot about this. So now the president's coming down, and is this too little, too late?
It's extremely weak response. I think he went no further than what we know to date, and I know that there are more revelations coming. He has addressed nothing of the full complexity of what's happened. And even his response to what is out is very weak. He's saying, well, we're still going to collect this stuff. We're going to store it a different way. We're going to have an outsider of the government, whoever that
That's
might be.
That's a terrible idea.
Ridiculous idea, I think. I don't know what the advantage of that is. The congressional response has been very mixed. Some people actually saying that this would hold back. If you adopted the reforms the president recommends, it would hold back NSA unnecessarily. Barbara Boxer thinks that. I don't get it.
Sure.
I don't get it. And then the other thing was that the congressional officials listening to this were almost uniformly negative about Snowden. And I've said repeatedly, I think he needs to come back to this country and be pardoned. He's done a great service to
And now
Americans.
They're smearing him by
smearing
saying
him
that he was a Russian spy.
Yeah, that he worked with the Russians on this.
Yeah.
Come on.
Implying it anyway.
Yeah. Now he's working on security for the Olympics in Russia. It's crazy.
I hear your palpable anger, of course.
Yeah, I think this is appalling.
But I have to say, politicians all read polls, and they all watch the news. And I'm telling you, I don't think it's a huge, for the left it is, for the extreme right it is, but I am not hearing it. My political ear is not saying that this is a continuing thing which is really going to drive Obama crazy. I think he's done what he did. People want to be secure. They've been leaking stuff like that there were 10,000 incidents in which they proceeded based on information that they had gotten. Was it 10,000 or something like that, Joe? You know, I don't. My ear doesn't hear it. doesn't hear outrage.
Then why did he speak at all, Alan? There's enough of an outrage going on that he had to do something.
Yeah, he did.
And and there's no question in my mind that this is a stopgap measure. It's like, okay, I'm acting, we're safe, and we're not going to spy on people.
But brilliant.
But we have been spied on, as we just were discussing in the break, since the Hoover days.
Yeah.
This is not constitutional.
The thing that struck me in listening to the president speak was him saying, well, you know, we're not reading your emails.
Yeah.
We're not listening in on your phone calls. We're just collecting the data. We're just collecting the numbers. We're collecting how long you talked, what number. That's the information we have. We're not spying on you per se.
They have broken the coding used for internet security. There's no way that you can send information on the internet or over the phone that the government can't find out about it. And if that's something people are not outraged about, well, then people on the left ought to keep it up, and they ought to keep screaming about it.
Right. And so now you ask
until they do get outraged.
Now you ask the question. How many politicians in this country do you know or suspect, if they had access to your phone calls, to your information, to who you talk to, would use it under the right circumstances? That's the tricky and most important question here. I could name two from not far from here.
And the question is, what's the right circumstances?
Yeah, what's the right circumstances?
Because that's always the subjective
part
of this.
You know, that's right. The right circumstances when they get angry at you.
Right.
Well, right.
Governor Christie would like this.
Well, that's
one.
Right? Or I mean, because if you had a way to go in and find the email, and is there that smoking gun email that links him to the aide? Okay, that's bad. But yet again,
you can find out how your opponents think.
Mm-hmm.
How about how your media critics think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the new revelations are that they routinely spied on journalists. We know that.
Regular phone tapping.
Regular phone tapping, yeah. And politicians and Obama himself. And how can you not be outraged over this?
What do you think is going to be the next step? I mean, Alan seemed I think this is a good point in the sense that you have this, okay, you act, you say what you have to say, but it doesn't really have the traction, it doesn't have the legs that many other issues have. So do you think it just kind of crawls into the corner and goes away?
I think it does. And not only that, but I thought it was brilliant when he said, okay, so we don't want to keep the data, so maybe the private sector can.
Let's pay somebody to keep
but
this,
you know what?
Spy information.
You know what? I'm going to leave that to the Congress to work out.
Yeah.
I thought that was just brilliant.
Well, I do think he's punting, and I do think the next step is more congressional debate. I'm hoping that it will be like firearm regulation, that it may be dead for the moment, but it will come back.
Could be.
I have hopes that there will be more revelations by Snowden. The indications are that he has a ton of material. We may have more revelations that will increase the... He seems to be timing them. They're getting more and more outrageous. I don't know. Maybe there's more that will move people to demand a real action. And I think there also is a Supreme Court case coming on this whole issue.
Mm. Regarding? I mean, specifically?
The whole issue of NSA spying. NSA. Yeah, we've been seeing it move through the federal courts. You probably have talked about it while I was gone. And the judges the judges seem to be more and more saying, yeah, it's a great idea. But there were some saying, no, it's completely unconstitutional.
But you have the two chairs, I believe, of the congressional committees, both in the Senate and in the House, who seem to be wildly supportive of the whole thing. Nobody wants it to, and I'm sure they're polling their constituents to find out how they are. So when a Barbara Boxer comes out with,
actually, I have to correct that. It wasn't Boxer. It was her.
Feinstein.
Yeah, it's Feinstein, her California colleague in the Senate, and she's the head of the Intelligence Committee in the Senate.
Sure.
She's the one who was supportive. So
just like we want our people to be safe in Russia and Sochi for the Olympics, I think the majority of the country just wants to feel safe.
Sure.
And if this is what they believe will make us feel safe, this story will go away.
Well, you know,
in a sense that, right. You know, that the people aren't going to be upset about it as much as you are or other journalists are or people who think about these things.
Journalists and leftists need to make our case better because this makes me feel yeah, and the extreme right. This makes me feel unsafe in a whole different way.
Terrorists are coming in, the
government's spying on me.
But when this story first broke, when they went to the people and they took polls, people said that what we got out of the initial poll was most people thought this was going on anyway. It wasn't a surprise.
Well, let me tell you.
So from there, it seems that just backs into it, doesn't it? You're not going to have the outrage if you already thought it was going on for years anyway.
I have this habit when I go away of watching West Wing reruns on Netflix.
I love.
Okay?
Yes.
And there was something that Leo and the president were talking about, some terrorist thing, and they made this, the line was about, well, let's see what the NSA taps, you know, and, you know, bring us. And this was in the 90s.
Right.
So clearly people have known that this has been going on for a long time.
And why is it that they don't, that the average citizen doesn't mind?
Because they feel safer.
Because A, they feel safer, and B, I haven't done anything wrong.
Right.
I don't mind.
Right. Let them tap my phone. What am I doing?
I've got television cameras at my house, and we have television cameras out in front of this. The police regularly show up here because there have been crimes committed in front of this place, and that's just the way that it is. It's a balancing act.
It is. Yes.
Ed Rosemary crawls up into a little ball.
Yeah, I don't have as much faith in why Americans are complacent about this. I think it comes from, I think it's just a stupid attitude.
Well,
it is. Put your blinders on and trust in the government that they're
until the bad one comes along.
A bad thing has come along. This is not a good thing.
Because of the potential for bad, worse things happening. That's why this is really bad.
Because I know
that when you get certain people in the White House, overweight guys in the White House, they're going to use it. I apologize for that last slur. Or when you get people of certain mentality, they'll use it, and they'll use it against private citizens for doing nothing wrong.
Jeffrey writes, when the president of the United States will be held singularly responsible for the safety of all Americans, indeed when the party he represents will be held responsible, what other type of response would you expect from him? I do not believe that Obama thinks Snowden to be a traitor, regardless of how he characterizes Snowden in public. When it comes to Obama or any other president, he will err on the side of caution. His entire legacy would evaporate in the event of a major terrorist attack on American soil. And this is sort of what we were...
I believe Jeffrey's right.
Yeah, I do too. We like that letter, Jeffrey. We don't like what it tells us about ourselves, but we like the letter.
Let's move on. Actually, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and then we will tackle our last topics for today. You're listening to The Roundtable. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from Clear Yoga in Rhinebeck. Iyengar Yoga for all ages and abilities. New daily class schedules start February 1st. A yoga practice helping to develop strength, flexibility, and peace of mind. ClearYogaRhinebeck.com. First Sun Solar, Springfield, Massachusetts, specializing in the design and installation of solar PV electric systems, customizing and managing residential and commercial solar projects, firstsunsolarco.com. And the Odyssey Bookshop, South Hadley, Massachusetts, featuring the gift of Reading Club, age-specific children's books, gift-wrapped and delivered every month, odysseybks.com.
We're taking precautions in the studio this morning, making sure that we're all safe and secure. We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Speaking to New Yorker magazine, U.S. President Barack Obama has said smoking marijuana is no more dangerous than alcohol, but still called it a bad idea. He said it was wrong to think legalizing the drug would be a panacea that could solve many social problems. Mr. Obama was referring to recent legislation of marijuana in the states of Colorado and Washington. He had previously admitted using the drug when he was young. As has been well documented, I smoked pot as a kid, and I view it as a bad habit and a vice, not very different from the cigarettes that I smoked as a young person up through a big chunk of my adult life. But he added that in terms of its impact on the individual consumer, I don't think it is more dangerous than alcohol. He also says that poor people, many of them African Americans and Latinos, were disproportionately punished for marijuana use, whereas middle-class users mostly escaped harsh penalties. Mr. Obama described the legalization of marijuana in Colorado and Washington as a challenging experiment. I'll let you go. They're working on something else. I don't know what they're working on.
Yeah, we're just doing ethnic percentages.
Right, right.
Okay.
I think that it needs to be legalized. I think this whole thing is absurd. I've always
So what do you make of the president coming out and saying
this sounds
that it's about the alcohol?
Doesn't this remind you about when he was wobbling on where to come out on gay rights and gay marriage? Mm-hmm. It was like, well, maybe it's not
maybe
so bad.
Not
I'm
so
changing
bad.
My
right,
mind.
Right,
and
right,
it's
right,
the
right.
same thing.
Yeah,
I was
but
talking
you're
to
have
the
to
kids.
Find somebody to go and blow a joint with him and say, look, it's not so bad.
Yeah, it's time for Biden to come out and say, I'm in favor of
I'm in favor, right.
Well, there is another side to this. You know, I mean, he's right. I don't think I would have loved the idea of my kids smoking pot. I'm so sorry. You're giving me a dirty look, but
I would have thought mine were abnormal if they didn't experiment.
Yeah, well, that's good because that makes you more, you know, progressive in many ways than me.
Yes, that's true.
But I loved some of the things he said in terms of, you know, what was good about it. I just think he's being cautious, and I think appropriately cautious.
I want to switch for a minute to alcohol, which is
worse.
Mm-hmm. Wait, though. I want to come out in defense of alcohol. It's so dangerous in the Middle East because you have a bunch of young people with no jobs. They're not allowed to associate with women, and they can't have any alcohol. I think a little bit of drinking and like have a woman around, and it would just like. Really helping.
And how? What about the carnage on the roads?
Well, what about right now in Lebanon? Wasn't there just an explosion in it was in Kabul, Afghanistan.
But what about the carnage on our roads here in the United States with alcohol?
There's laws against drunk driving. Enforce them.
Well, people try to enforce them. They don't.
If you ban alcohol, that really didn't work. Remember,
no, we know
tried that.
No, I'm not
ban.
Arguing about it.
What are you
ban?
Talking about?
Good
I'm
for you,
talking,
Libby. You step right
I'm
up.
I'm talking about if we are allowing people to drink, we should allow people to smoke. It's
okay,
just
I agree
that simple.
With that.
You know, it's
right.
just that
you, and you
simple.
And you cannot drive while either impaired
right.
with
that's
drugs
right.
or with
right.
alcohol.
You shouldn't
that's
drive
well,
one not way so or the other.
Well, yes, that's easy for you to say. But as the state police recently...
Yeah, but people drive drunk all the time.
As recently said... Well, because others do it doesn't make it okay.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it should be illegal. And actually it is.
But you can't. But we don't have the apparatus to test the drug thing in the same way that we do for the alcohol.
Sure, if
I had the two state policemen sitting right here.
We'd have an app.
Well, first, let's do that.
Yeah, we have it. I thought that was the pee test. Wasn't that the thing where we could tell in 2 seconds whether your employee was showing up high?
Yeah, but if you get pulled over... Right, you're gonna say to somebody, "You got to pee in a cup right now."
Well, I don't know. I don't want to do it, but you know. But the other thing that is
they're tapping my phone. What's the big deal after that? It'll keep us safe on the highways. I'm in favor of it.
The other part, which I think the media has really picked up on, which I did not mention in my brief synopsis in the New York article of saying that it was a challenging experiment of the two states that have accepted legalization, but the president said that it is quote important for it to go forward because it's important for society. Society not to have a situation in which a large portion of people have at one time or another broken the law and only a select few get
punished.
No,
he was profound on that. Yeah. And he's absolutely right. I've been saying it for years.
Yep.
I mean, the idea that some guy on a 16th floor on Park Avenue is doing whatever, smoking weed, but not on the street where somebody's arrested for the rest of their lives, they have this chasing them around.
Yeah.
I mean, the crack is the same thing.
Right. So
not that we should legalize crack, but in terms of who gets arrested, who ends up going to jail.
Who gets harshly punished.
Who gets harshly punished, much more harshly punished for crack than getting picked up with, you know, a little bit of coke, right?
And don't you think, and this is going to what Libby was, or I'm sorry, what Rosemary was saying earlier about, you know, this is starting to see where how the president's position has evolved on, much like it did on mm-hmm. Gay rights and so forth. Are these the words of a second term president?
Well, that's the thing. He's got nothing to lose.
What's wrong with the evolution? I mean, people evolve.
Right.
You know, we've seen it before. You can't punish somebody for changing their mind and for getting, you know, for going where they have to go. I mean, I don't see something so terrible about
it. It would be great for the economy. That's all I have to say. The
would
tax
also help
revenue,
Mexico a lot, too.
That's true. The tax revenue that would come in would close the deficit in a heartbeat. I mean, look what's happening right. in Colorado. They're making millions of dollars in a day, and yet they don't have any place to put the money because the banks won't allow the drug money to get deposited because of the federal laws. So they're just making, by doing that, they're putting these folks at risk. They're driving this cash to some bank somewhere that will let them take it. But it's really a dangerous situation. They can't do, you know, transfer funds. They can't do any of that stuff online. And it's crazy.
What was Eric Schlosser's book about that? Eric Schlosser did a whole book on that economy. It was really great. But looking at where this money goes, but for pornography, for marijuana, for drugs, it's fascinating of how it propels itself.
Who's the author?
Eric Schlosser.
You legalize marijuana, you take a big bite out of crime mm-hmm. in this country.
Right.
Let us move on to a final topic, and I'm sure that because I want to go out on a quiet note, you know, the one that won't get everybody all, you know, excited and animated. Governor Andrew Cuomo said Friday that the current schism between moderates and conservatives in the state Republican Party is a localized version of a similar split causing headaches in Washington, D.C. Extreme Republican candidates who are anti-abortion, oppose gay rights, or favor legalized assault weapons have no place in the state of New York because that's not who New Yorkers are, according to the governor. Yes, it's an election year. Speaking on Friday morning with Susan Arbetter in the Capitol Press Room radio show, Cuomo said leaders of the state GOP were searching to define their soul. The Republican Party candidates are running against the SAFE Act. It was voted for by moderate Republicans who run the Senate, Cuomo said, referring to the state's year-old gun control law that alienated many conservatives. Stir, mix, and enjoy. Gentlemen, and Lily and Rosemary, go ahead.
Oh, no, I want to hear Alan's view on this.
Well, no, I'm in enough trouble with these guys already. They're not happy with me. But I can tell you, I truly think that this guy is Machiavelli. He really knows how to read the tea leaves and to do what has to be done in order to do what he needs to have electoral majorities. And he plays it all against each other. One day he's for the idea that we should finance public campaigns. The next day, not so fast, you know. So that, to me, always the issue is: does he want to really make change, or does he want the issue? Does he want the issue to be able to say to the liberal constituents in New York, "I spoke out against that," or does he really care? I mean, that's what I can't figure out.
Well, every year there's been a flavor of the legislative session, you know. I mean, last year it was women, and he didn't do so well. He had the issue. He did the gays. He did the developmentally disabled. Then he cut their budget, you know. The first year it was some other group. You know, what I love about this is the apoplectic responses from people, and you know, the guy,
the right wingers,
right? You know, the spokesman David Laska, you know, say that we're the most taxed, most regulated, least business friendly, least economically free, and least personally free state in America. So, being pro-choice, pro-gay rights, and not wanting you to have a magazine that you can blow everybody away with, that's
and
that's
way,
not being personally
and by
free.
By the way, the Siena poll is out, and he's doing extremely
that's right. That came out
well
this
in New York.
Oh, Cuomo. Oh, he's back up.
Yeah. Well, you know, Alan, you
think they're listening now? You think the governor's office has somebody listening to the show?
No, just your phone calls.
Yeah, NSA will tell them in later, phone them in later.
Guarantee you they'll listen.
You've gone into a theme, Alan, that you've used before, that Cuomo doesn't really mean it. And I've always thought, I don't care what they really think in their heart of hearts, just as long as they're efficient.
Oh, no, you should care, and I'll tell you why. Because if they really mean it, Andrew Cuomo could call Jeffrey Klein, the dissident guys, into his office and say, we're going to have campaign financing. If he doesn't mean it, he says, it's the other guy.
We are out of time. I thank everybody for writing in. We welcome your letters still. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Rosemary, a delight to have you back. You'll be here tomorrow, right?
You're yes, not, I will.
Okay, globetrotting. Excellent. Libby, thank you
shot.
As always. We'll see you next week. And Alan, of course, will be back tomorrow as well. Thank you very much. The roundtable continues.